This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Lenovo Gaming and Intel. You can find out more about Lenovo Gaming on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Lenovo Gaming or visit lenovogaming.com.
Podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 51 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is December 29th, 2016 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. We've got a special guest this week. You remember him, you may remember him from earlier on, I think around episode 20, 21. We had him on when Esports Arena was doing one of the first major LAN that we had in Overwatch. And he was working that as one of the commentators. Jimmy, you were there. I remember you got to go up on the desk for that. It's a good friend of the show, Jamerson. Hey, Jamerson, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. Really excited to be here.
It's going to be a fun one. We've got a lot of good stuff to chat about, but let's go ahead and introduce the rest of the crew. You may know her from Fade to Karma. You may know her from all of her awesome, insane Mercy plays from somewhere weird in California. It's Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
Hi, I have missed you guys. That somewhere weird is no longer Los Angeles. It's San Diego.
I will forget that.
I know you will. I know you will. But everybody else will actually remember. So it's been crazy, but I'm super glad to be here. I'm ready to get back into the podcast and the show and to hang out with you guys. And I'm super excited for the show that we have.
You missed a heck of a snowball fight last week. We had a lot of fun.
Those were some crazy games.
I lost my voice on Friday morning. I actually lost my voice.
And you broke your chair, right?
Yeah.
Wait,
and I broke my chair.
Do they still have that brawl going? Is the brawl still actually
January
going?
January 2nd, yeah.
Okay, we'll have to get in on that because I haven't played the brawl yet. I've just seen it played. So I feel like we would all get really competitive and it would be either really funny or really bad. And I think it's going to be a combination of the two.
It was so much fun. I learned this, the best thing. So JR, the co-founder of BlizzPro, he's one of the co-hosts on Well Met and super supportive of the show, was hanging out with us after the show. We were playing the snow brawl. And what I would do is I would throw up a Maywall. He would keep trying to go on the left side right at the spawn. And I kept throwing up a Maywall and blaming it on other people. He didn't get on until he didn't figure it out until like the second or third from the last round. It's just like, just, guys, you stop it. You're ruining my strategy. It's like that one kid in the neighborhood who's super competitive with everything growing up, and he always has to win, always have to be at 100. Little did I know that's JR with Snow Brawl. So it was a lot of fun. If you haven't, you should go check out the VOD. It still should be at twitch.tv/blizzpro. I know a couple people actually highlighted some of the stuff that happened. Kevin had an amazing...
Yeah, Kevin 1v3 that he won, I think it was.
Ooh. Oh, Kevin won a 1v3?
Yeah.
Wow. Of course he does something useful when I'm not there.
Right! Exactly!
Yep. You know, you can make fun of him without any repercussions.
Exactly.
And Jimmy, I feel awful. I haven't introduced you, but from Camarillo, California, it's Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy. Hi.
Hey. I think most people know me by now. I've been around a while.
Yeah, I figure as much. Everyone should know the names on the show, but at this point.
Rosh, I have to ask you, though, can I crash at your place if TwitchCon is in San Diego again?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Definitely, for sure. Because I think I'm 10 minutes away from the convention. So, yes.
There we go.
Jimmy doesn't want a room with me next time. I get it. Feels bad.
I don't want to know why. I don't want to know why. That's between you guys.
Thought I was perfectly pleasant. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about our weeks in Overwatch, what we've been up to in-game and out-of-game, all around the game. Jamerson, what have you been up to in your last week as far as Overwatch goes?
Well, in terms of esports, nothing's really been going on. There's just been like a lot of Asian tournaments to try to keep up with, but I can't stay awake until 3 a.m., you know? So just been climbing the ladder, currently sitting on GM at about 4180 around there. Jeez. So feeling pretty proud of myself.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. You never told me you were so pro. I should have introduced you by as a professional gamer, Jamerson, at that point.
Well, I tried. I tried once. My friends and I were supposed to be signed to Rise Nation. Unfortunately, I got kicked like the morning before we signed our contract. But hey, they've picked up a new roster since then. If you've been, you know, keeping up with the North American scene, Rise Nation, X-Retzy, and all of them, they're doing fantastically right now. They had a unfortunate showing, not their showing at MGA because of the whole tournament, the way that actually worked out, I think it got canceled and then rescheduled day of the second day, which was unfortunate for Rise Nation. So, hey, we'll see. I think they rescheduled to sometime in February or January. I forget.
Yeah, I know they said early 2017. I don't know if we've seen the official dates, but yeah, that was really disappointing. That was the one where they brought laptops, right? They brought laptops to the venue, and they're like, 90 FPS. I can't quite be a pro.
Not going to cut it.
Yeah,
it does make a difference. It does
it's a
make
huge a difference. Difference. That's why, like, absolutely.
I'm looking into one of those 240 hertz monitors that BenQ's been showing off lately. I haven't been able to try it out, but I'm super excited for those.
Oh, that's sick. I've got the 144 hertz, and I'm not good, so it doesn't matter, but I can say I have a 144 hertz monitor, and yeah, and nothing really that I'm using it for outside of saying I have the, if I were, had this skill, I would have this setup of a professional gamer. Yeah, so that's cool, man. I mean, you know, only 4,100, you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, only 4,100.
That's
amazing.
I mean,
since season one, I've been like aiming for a Grandmaster, haven't been able to get it. A lot of people are complaining about how season three has been working out.
Yeah,
it hasn't been quite the representation of your individual skill, because a lot of people do queue together, and also because of the new algorithms that they've been working on the ladder, it feels like a lot of people have been inflated to higher ratings, doing basically the complete opposite of what they set out to do. But I think there are just a few cases where, you know, you'll see someone who was a 2000 in season two,
and they're all of a sudden 4,200.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jimmy, what about you, man? What have you been up to in Overwatch this last week?
Yeah, after doing my placement matches last week, I've avoided competitive because I know how awful of a grind it's going to be. For those of you who didn't catch last week, I got placed at like 1,300.
You were
going
so
5-5.
Devastated. I couldn't.
Dude, it crushed me.
Oh, no.
Because I started out at like 2,200 last season and ended the season at like 1,800. So I was like, okay, I should be around there, but I dropped 500
I mean,
points
say
going
that
5-5. I know they did say that.
Yeah, or play slower.
I just have to go back in there and grind out the games. I know they're going to be definitely rough, but I also played a little bit on console, and we're going to talk about this later, but I did open a loot box, and of course I got the May skin on console and not on PC. So that was based on my week. Been busy with Christmas stuff as well. Nice. But yeah, feels bad about getting that skin on console. Man.
Yeah, it's all right. Rosh, what about you? What are you up to in Overwatch? I know you've had a crazy week, so I'm guessing it's like, well, I watched.
I felt, that's basically all that happened is I was watching people play Overwatch as I was falling asleep, because before I moved, I was really mad because I haven't finished my placements, but I'm actually glad that I hadn't finished my placements, because if I place at, you know, 4K and then I haven't been able to play for 2 weeks, I'm going to log back in and it's going to be 3K because of the decay. So I'm actually happy how it kind of worked out the way that I didn't finish them. So I think I'm at like 6 out of 10 of my placements. So I think I'm going to finish them tomorrow and then get back into playing when I'm streaming and then finish them on stream and see where we go. But other than that, I've just been moving and packing and unpacking and buying stuff for my new apartment. And my best friend flew in from Florida. She's my roommate, her and her husband. So I've been helping them and, you know, just doing the whole new apartment thing where you're buying all of the miscellaneous stuff that you never think you need until you need it. So right. I'm trying to make sure we have all of that covered. But I'm really excited because tomorrow I'm planning on streaming for the first time in like 2.5 weeks.
Finally, so, I missed my Rosh streams.
So if you want to watch me go 0-10 in my placements, because right now I'm 0-6, you should check out my stream tomorrow and see how high we place, because I would put money on the fact that I'm still going to place above or at least in Masters because of the way the algorithm is working this season. I just think it'll be incredibly entertaining and really amusing if I go 0-10 and place into Masters. So I think that's a different story for something to talk about Overwatch, but I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow.
Interesting. Yeah, for me, I'm still trying to get into Diamond. I got about 90 points away from Diamond, and then I dropped back down, so I'm about 200 points away again. Almost there, though, so keeping the grind, trying to do it, but I've been really invested in Hearthstone this season. it's the first one for points, kind of, and the new expansion, so I've been kind of stuck, and I'm like, I'll just hit Legend, and then I'll go ahead and just go all in on Overwatch, and sure enough, it's more difficult than I expected it to be. So, oh, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the news. And, yeah, we've got a packed show.
This week in Overwatch.
All right. Couple of things. First and foremost, there will not be a show next week. I'll be in Hawaii. Woo.
Yay.
Yeah, that'll be great. Mm-hmm. So I'll be in Hawaii with my girlfriend's parents, and we'll be hanging out for like 10 days. I will be streaming. So I have my laptop. I'll be streaming.
You'll be
a lot of
streaming in Hawaii.
That's insane.
Yeah, from the beach.
Yeah, I was gonna say we better have the best view.
I have a 200-foot Ethernet cable.
Oh,
her
gosh.
Parents are right on the beach, and it's gonna be amazing. I will be the beached whale on that beach, and it'll be amazing.
Oh my goodness!
You're gonna get the funniest looks.
Be like, Can you go away, please? I'm trying to stream Hearthstone. Please, there's expensive electronics here. I can't get wet.
I know you're getting
lethal because of glare.
Yeah.
They're all gonna look at you like, well, is this guy okay?
Miss Lethal because I saw a dolphin. Yeah, it'll be sweet. So, so no show next week, but we'll see what we can do about making it up to you. Maybe doing a separate game night or something sometime in January. It'll be a lot of fun. So that's first news. Second, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you want to support the show, help us bring on amazing guests and make our show sound good, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. All right, so let's get real here for a second, chap. It's been a wonderful holiday season here at Overwatch. However, we have even more good news to tell you, and that is you get 5 free loot boxes just for playing Overwatch. That's amazing. Hey! Woo! Trying to see how many sounders I can pack up on top of each other at once. I'm at 2. Let's see if we can go 3. Anyways, so make sure to...
Sorry, 6 total, right? Since you get the 1 for the event at the beginning of the event.
Right. Yeah. So you get 6 total for free, and then anything you get for leveling, and then however many $50 you spend on loot boxes, John. Yeah, I did that. I got all the skins, though, so I feel pretty good. So make sure to log in before January 2nd. Even if you're not playing, even if you're like, John, I play on PC, but I have an Xbox, go log in on Xbox, because you'll be like Jimmy and get the skin you want on Xbox and not on PC.
Yep.
And, you know, then you will be sad. So have you guys gotten anything amazing from your loot boxes at all? Or is there a particular skin you're wanting?
I don't open my loot boxes, so I have nothing.
You're the worst.
On PC, I got Farah's skin, which I was wanting to get. So I'm really excited about that because the thing looks awesome. It looks like Farah just walked out of Ice Crown Citadel, got all of tier gear that was. It just looks awesome. So I'm super excited to have that.
Nice.
I'm just waiting on the Nutcracker Zenyatta skin. Yes. That's the only one I need at this point. So really want that, you know.
Zenyatta is my second most played hero next to Soldier 76. And I am so tempted because I have the Nutcracker Zenyatta skin. I am so tempted on getting the golden weapon for Zenyatta just to have the golden nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I really want.
I really want the Zenyatta. If I am going to open any of the boxes, which you can buy them again, so maybe I'll just open normal loot boxes, get the currency, and then buy them so I can keep all of my Christmas loot boxes. But that's really the only skin I really want to get is the Zenyatta skin because it just looks so cool. I love it so much. It's probably my favorite.
It was the one I'm still floored. I was least expecting out of all the other ones. Everyone else like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, Tracer's an elf. Torbjorn, Santa Claus, but Zenyatta as a nutcracker. That's amazing. So go ahead and make sure to get those again. The event ends January 2nd, so make sure you get as much playtime in as you want and get your loot boxes before then until, who knows, probably next year until you can get them again. So, yeah. All right, we got some more news. Diablo in-game goodies are coming to Overwatch and other Blizzard titles. We don't have a whole lot of details yet, but in celebration of the Diablo 20th anniversary, we will have in-game portraits and sprays for Diablo. For all you Diablo fans out there, I don't know, have you guys played a lot of Diablo? Are you guys Diablo heads at all? Diablo 2, Diablo 3, any of that?
I never really
got into it.
I used to play a lot of Diablo 3 and then it kind of tapered off. Like I haven't played the last two or three seasons. But this is cool that they're doing the celebration. I think it's going to be really cool to see Diablo stuff in all the games. And Overwatch looks like they're touching it the least out of all the Blizzard games because it looks like just sprays and portrait. But cool to see it there. I mean, I was excited when Legion launched that there was the You're Not Prepared spray. Right. I was using that all over the place because I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, Blizzard just does a great job cross-promoting the game. So not a surprise to see this them going kind of all out for the 20th anniversary of Diablo 1.
Yeah, it's really weird that like Hearthstone, you have to earn the Diablo card back, right? There's going to be a special brawl.
There's going to be a brawl, yeah.
And it's kind of weird because in Overwatch, you just basically have to log in, which is...
Well, I mean, what would they do? I can't imagine them participating in a
Diablo-type brawl. You know, like a PvE thing.
It sounds like
thing.
A lot of development work.
It is.
Just for a spray, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, celebrate Diablo 20th anniversary log. Yeah, I guess. I guess. It's just a celebratory thing, I suppose. They did the same thing for Legion. You just had to log in.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it mattered when. I think just everybody got it, right? Unverifiable. Where's Kevin Hobbitestad when you need him?
I know.
He would know that pointless thing.
He would.
Yeah. All right. We need to be delicate here for a second. We are a family friendly podcast.
How'd your kids?
Yeah. We do our best to stay as clean and PG as possible. But this was the top post on r/Overwatch this week, and I thought it was hilarious. So the Overwatch subreddit is now more popular than the sex subreddit on Reddit. I mean, right?
We did it, Reddit?
Us nerds are taking over the world. We've got it now. More people like a video game than, anyways. So that... That is pretty cool. Although, to be fair, I don't think I could ever subscribe to that subreddit and not get really weird looks. Be like, hey, let's go surf Reddit, friend. Oh, cool. What are your subscribe subreddit? Sex. Stupid. But
oh my god,
what's the bigger news for this, Jimmy?
I think the bigger news on this is it's actually become the second largest game-specific subreddit now, as it passed Pokemon Go subreddit, and now it just sits right behind, I don't know how far behind, probably pretty far behind, but behind the League of Legends subreddit. So that surprises me just because of how fast Overwatch has grown. And there's other really big subreddits like the CSGO subreddit and Dota 2. And they're above Overwatch is above those, which is pretty impressive for a game that's been out less than 12 months.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, with the traction, I actually see it catching up with the League of Legends subreddit very soon, because it went from, I mean, zero to 700,000 within what, a year and a half, maybe two. So it's only about 200,000 behind League of Legends right now. So that's pretty incredible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So there are currently 931,555 subscribers to the League of Legends subreddit. And then there are 712,010 subscribers for the Overwatch subreddit. And all, even then, like, I feel like the Overwatch subreddit is much more active. Like, I see the Overwatch subreddit on r/all. All the time, and I don't see League of Legends really there except for like big esports news or huge pieces of drama. And I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say drama. It's all
drama. Yeah. How long do you guys, we should place bets, write these down and see when we think how long, if ever, until the Overwatch subreddit eclipses the League of Legends subreddit. Educated guess, Rosh, because you're least prepared. You first.
This is kind of cheating, I guess, because I wasn't prepared for the question, but I don't think that it will surpass League of Legends. Only because look at the amount of champions.
Set her up for that.
Yeah, only because look at the amount of champions that League of Legends has. Look at the world tournaments that they have. I just think there's a lot more daily, weekly, monthly changes that the Reddit thread has to cover and that people have to create Reddit posts on than Overwatch. I mean, look at Overwatch. When's the last time they released any major buffs or nerfs? So I just think, I don't know if that's cheating my way out of an answer or not, but I don't think that it will.
So Rosh says never. Rosh says never. Jamerson, are you in agreement? Never? Or do you think that it can take it on?
I think by season 3 of 2017 would be very close, just because once the Overwatch League actually launches and you have more of a mixture between our Overwatch and our competitive Overwatch, there's going to be a lot more traction for it to actually gain. Right now, with the schism between, you know, the two different Overwatch subreddits, the esports subreddit, and then, you know, just the main fluff Reddit, it's really, I guess, separating out the content that a lot of people can actually access. And so, yeah, Overwatch League, I see that being like the turning point for the subreddit and them actually overtaking League of Legends.
Okay. So, like, so in 2017, you're saying for sure?
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. Sounds like Q4, somewhere around September, October?
August, September, yeah.
August, September. Cool. I love that. That's kind of where I was thinking. Jimmy, what do you think? Team Jimmy or team Rosh or Team Jamerson or Jimmy Davis? Are you going to give us something totally different?
Oh, yeah. Here? Jimmy's going to make a prediction and that's going to be it. Like,
I'm going to make an aggressive prediction here and say in 6 months. So by June 2017.
June.
It'll surpass League of Legends subreddit. Because I didn't realize it was that close to League subreddit. I mean, 200,000 sounds like a lot, but it's gotten 700,000 subscribers in the past 2 years, and it'll grow exponentially, I think, as soon as Overwatch League really kicks into high gear.
Well, and we talked about this. I went back and looked, and in the teen episodes of this show, the Overwatch subreddit was at 280,000 at the very beginning of 2016, meaning that 500,000 of those subscribers came in 2016, which is kind of a big deal. So I don't know. I'm Jimmy. You might surprise us all. I'm still on Team Jamerson, though. I think like that early fall time, late summertime makes a lot of sense. So we'll have to see. We will have to see. Any other news we missed here, or are we ready to talk about some stuff going on in esports?
I think we're ready.
I'm always ready for esports.
Faster than sight.
So predictable.
All right. So no big real tournaments this past week because it's the holidays. Everyone's taking a break from the competitive scene for a moment. But there's been a lot of great conversation going on in the competitive subreddits and on Twitter and just kind of between fans of Overwatch esports about Blizzard and how they are approaching nerfs and buffs of heroes and game mechanics in Overwatch. So we wanted to take a little time and talk about those changes and what we think Blizzard is doing right and what we might think Blizzard could be doing better. And yeah, should be good fun. So with the most recent couple of patches, about two patches ago, we saw the big changes to D.Va where they buffed her movement speed while she was shooting. And they did something else.
Increased her armor by 100.
Yes, increased her armor. Thank you. And then Symmetra obviously saw the huge rework most recently in the last major patch. And it's got some people asking the question, is Blizzard being too heavy-handed and swinging the pendulum too far on heroes with their tuning? So, Rosh, do you think that Blizzard is being too harsh in the tuning of their heroes?
I don't. And I think if there's one thing in the world, like we stated, as a matter of fact, over every other single thing, is that people will find a way and a reason to complain about anything and everything. Because how many months ago were people complaining that Blizzard wasn't rolling out nerfs and buffs fast enough? And then now we're here complaining that they're rolling it out too fast? I think people are crazy. I don't think that it's too fast. I don't think that they're too big of changes. I think that they were necessary changes. I think that they were necessary changes. I think if they had tried to slow it down a little, it would have left D.Va in kind of a middle place where she still wasn't good. And then people would have been mad that she wasn't still good, even though she just got a buff. And then they would have complained about that as well.
Okay. Interesting. I did not expect you honestly to say that.
Really? I could tell by your facial expression. You were like,
Well, because Mercy has gotten the short end of that stick a couple of times.
Well, yeah, but so just because Mercy's gotten the short end doesn't mean I can be biased.
Fair enough. You stayed totally objective. I'm so proud is what I really meant, is that I'm just really proud that you stayed so objective in that. And be like, yeah, Mercy got switched too fast, too much. Jamerson, what do you think? Are you happy with the frequency and the level of changes we're seeing to Overwatch heroes? Would you like to see more or less?
So I'm happy with actually most of the changes that were coming about. I was really pretty bored with like the stagnant, you know, Beyblade composition that was coming out in almost every tournament. Whose Reaper spins faster at this point? So coming out with the changes to Symmetra and to D.Va was huge, and I loved them. I think it was a little bit heavy-handed with Symmetra, but I think it was a necessary evil. Because if you did, you know, if you were light with the touch on it, no one would have touched her for the longest time. And even after the buffs had come out, in my own like competitive play, it took a good 3-4 weeks before we saw Symmetra being used to a decent effect. So I think they're doing a good job of actually getting these buffs out. I think one thing they can work on is actually going back, looking back at season one, and taking a look at the season one changes that they had made, because that was a completely different era. That's when, you know, Zero Hero Limit was still in effect. So you can have double Winston, double Zarya and stuff like that. So you can maybe revert some of those changes, buff up Winston a little bit again and try to bring him back more to the forefront. But hey, I like everything that they're doing. I think the only thing they need to really work on at this point is having a stable tournament realm to play all these lands on so that the players aren't, you know, trying to practice in vastly different environments. And then, you know, once the players can actually figure out heroes, that's when I think the balances really should come in.
I'm glad you hit on that. We're going to definitely talk a little bit more about the tournament side of things, because we saw this with Apex, right? Season one is when they dropped the Sombra change. Was it Sombra just period?
Sombra was announced, yeah.
And like she was bugged, and they also, you know, had some other things, so they couldn't do everything right away. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, I know you're really focused on the Korean scene. Didn't Lunatic High really struggle then after that patch because the meta had kind of changed so much and they ended up going from kind of really favored, or not favored, but being a really strong contender to immediately going, nah, watch Kongdu Unsia and watch Envious because they might really do well with these changes?
I don't think it was individual performance on Lunatic High's side that actually made a huge difference. I think Kongdu Unsia, they just had an exceptional D.Va player, and that was one of the bigger changes that came out when Sombra was released, the D.Va changes, and that really did shake up a lot of the tournaments, not just on the Asian side, but it shook up a lot of like America also. I think it just, at that point, it was newer players shining. Lunatic High not really dropping the ball there, because I know for a fact Miro, his main, it wasn't Winston. It was actually D.Va for the longest time. And I touted him as one of the best D.Vas in the world. But, you know, come up against Kongdu Unsia, and all of a sudden, like,
yeah.
Wow. Like, we're seeing that there are a lot of these heroes that once put into the right hands, they can absolutely shine. So that's why we got to see Mickey on Envy just do amazing work with it, right? And so, right. Yeah, I think definitely not Lunatic High's best performance, but it was a lot of people just coming up to the challenge at that point.
Great. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. Do Jimmy, I didn't hear from you. Do you like the pace and size of changes we're seeing in Overwatch right now?
I think so, but we have to do a little history lesson, because when Overwatch was released, Jeff Kaplan's like, okay, we're only going to do minor changes from this point forward. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm okay with that. And then they came out with this PTR patch with the D.Va changes and all that. They're like, don't worry about it. They won't all go live. I swear. They won't all go live. And they, like, almost all of them went live. That's fine. Right. And I think this is actually the best time for them to do kind of heavy-handed changes, because we're in the lull of tournament season right now. We just finished up MLG IEM. And so there's a lot of time for people to really learn these, and season three is going to kind of be the off season from tournament mode. And I think once Overwatch League comes out, they'll have to be a bit more careful about how quick they are to change stuff and how big of changes they're going to make. Cause Zarya, I think we saw a pretty significant hit. Yeah. Because of those changes. I mean, just across the board, they're like, oh, shield's way too strong. Goodbye. I mean, they didn't remove them, but I mean, it feels like it sometimes. But I don't think it's too much. I mean, I'm really enjoying D.Va right now because she's just very easy to pick up and play right now. And that movement speed buff from when you're shooting is really, really good.
Yeah,
I don't think it's too bad.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, go for it.
I just want to clarify. I'm not saying that I am for what the nerfs and buffs were. Like, I'm not saying that I'm happy with what they were. I'm saying that I'm happy with their aggressiveness and how much they're pushing out towards buff and nerf wise. I think that there could be a little more middle ground between pushing it out too aggressive and too slowly. I think, in my opinion, what they could maybe do is every week, every 2 weeks, roll out some minuscule changes, some minute changes to the characters, some little tweaks here and there, and then kind of just keep it a constant tweaking of here and there instead of these huge aggressive changes once a month, once a season, how they kind of have. Because since the last massive unleashing of their buffs and nerfs, they haven't really tweaked a lot of anything. And I think that they could be a bit more active in that regard. If you look at the competitive Overwatch Reddit threads or just their tweets, you can tell that there are massive amounts of people that are just super unhappy with Blizzard's responsiveness to how the meta seems to be and who seems to be overpowered and stuff like that. So yes, while I'm happy that they are being as aggressive as they are, not doing it as slowly as they were at the beginning of the game's release, I think that there is some more of a middle ground that they still could find and can work towards.
What do you think, Jamerson? Do you think that there's, what would you like to see from Blizzard with these changes? Not so much that, they are two big changey things, but you hinted at before, it really affects the competitive scene, tournaments, specifically mid-tournament patches and how that's being addressed. Like, what do you think a good solution is for Blizzard and patching the game?
I like these unintended consequences, honestly. I like how, the game went from like a DPS-centric game to being a pretty tank-centric game. I know a lot of people say that it's boring, but I think that's the main reason why we're seeing these new stars being born at this point. Because you're taking the game out of the hands of the DPS, putting it into tanks, maybe into supports. That's why we're able to see like, hey, Ryu Jaehong on his Ana. He's amazing, and that's why, hey, you should also, really highlight support players, or you'll see Miro, Internet Hulk, all these amazing tanks come out, Mickey playing D.Va, all different kinds of tanks, and they're shining on them. It's no longer DPS-centric, and I think that's pretty important to be able to actually highlight every single class. Now, it is a bit of an issue that, hey, the tanks are seeing the most play right now, and the game has gotten into another stagnant lull, but it's up to the developers at this point to, keep track of that and make necessary changes at this point. I would like to see it go back to 2-2-2, to DPS, two tanks, and two supports, just for viewability. I mean, just watching, six tanks, like, wet noodle fight on the payload, not quite as fun.
Yeah.
But still, it's there. I think... Yeah, the biggest issue, I'm going to go back to, they need a good tournament realm so that players can play on past patches. I think PTR might need to extend their time, to really test it out, because I think the PTR for Sombra and the D.Va or Symmetra changes were only up for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks before they really rolled them out. And that's not enough time for how many people are on PTR, like what, 20,000 people playing on PTR? Mm-hmm. That's not enough time for them to actually like try and flesh out these new strategies,
Yeah. Do you think that there needs to be more coordination between Blizzard and these big tournament organizers when these patches hit too? Like, is that something that needs to happen, or is it just, again, like you said, an unintended consequence that really lets certain players and certain rosters shine who can kind of adapt faster when these things start to hit?
That's a skill that you kind of really do need as a high tier team, right? You need to be able to adapt to these changes. So there should be coordination with the major tournaments. I mean, the Sombra patch coming in on like the final weeks of Apex, that definitely really put a wrench in, a lot of people's works, was not good at all for some teams and definitely helped others. Tournament role support was basically the only issue that they needed. And I know that there are, LAN or answers for that. I believe they were using some sort of tournament realm for the World Cup at BlizzCon. Why they weren't using that for MLG or IEM or anything else, that really does boggle my mind.
That's something I've always wondered. So, I mean, presumably with Overwatch League, there's definitely going to be some sort of tournament client that these teams will be playing on, right? But it sounds like for the most part, from what we know, third-party organizers haven't really had access to this yet. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right.
I don't want to, like, we're speculating a little bit, so you can tweet and be like, actually, this tournament used it. I would love to know.
No, like, Apex definitely would have used it. I know that when the Sombra changes came out, that Monty and Doe and a lot of the Korean players weren't happy with it, that they weren't able to play on a tournament realm. And Monty and Doe, for sure, they know that, hey, during the BlizzCon Overwatch World Cup, there definitely was some sort of tournament realm to be played on. I had heard from other sources, you know, that's where they were testing out, like, the 12 spectator features, the... I think it was like 150 something, 150 tick servers, all these other things. So, the fact that other tournament organizers don't have access to that right now. Yeah. It's really strange.
Hmm. I wonder.
Yeah. I mean, Blizzard has done this in the past as far as tournament realms, more specifically with like stuff like StarCraft 2. I know, MLG back in the day when they were running a lot of StarCraft 2 tournaments, they actually got kind of their own realm. I don't know if it was like on site or something, but it was definitely something to help support the tournament scene in that way, kind of, so it was a little bit separated from the online component, because definitely some games, just in esports in general, have been susceptible to DDoS attacks. It's notably, I think, CSGO has seen a lot of that stuff happen. But yeah, in Overwatch, still relatively new, have a lot of work to do, but I think Blizzard will do the right thing going forward. And yeah, the balance changes are every esport has this problem where it's like, oh, how do you work with the game developer to kind of coordinate these patches. Heroes has this problem constantly. I mean, every esport seems to have this problem. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they do decide to go. I'm sure in coordination with Overwatch League, though, they will definitely be in coordination with that since they're running it.
Well, this is kind of interesting too, right? I think it's really easy to see the size and success of Overwatch and forget that for most people, this is a 7-8 month old game, right? April, May is when this game came out. And we're already at the point where we have, higher tick rate servers than they initially launched with. We have a league announced. We're on season 3 with 3 specific iterations and improvements on the competitive landscape for in-game Overwatch. And like, that's pretty amazing and pretty unprecedented. Even the biggest esports in the world didn't really launch out with, like, it's not like League of Legends launched with a league and these specific features and they lined up all their patches. It took some time. And so this definitely isn't a comment like, what is Blizzard doing? They don't know what they're doing. It's like, it's been 7 months of live gameplay at this point, which is really quite a feat. And it also speaks to why they're multiplayer game of the year, esport of the year, game. Did they get game of the year? I forget. Was it game of the year as well? They got, yeah, they did. Right, Jimmy?
So, yeah.
At Game Awards. And so Game Direction was another one they got. Like, I'm sure that they will get this stuff hammered out and probably pretty soon with the pace that they've been putting out these changes, right? Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So that was just kind of a little conversation I wanted to have with you guys about those changes and what we can really see. But what we really want to do is take a little time and revisit Symmetra. We talked about Symmetra and her new changes a few weeks ago when it first came out, and kind of talked about preemptively what we thought about the changes. We've had a few weeks to kind of see Symmetra get some play time. We've seen her in some tournaments. We've had a lot of people. We've had a lot of people kind of get a chance to get their hands on Symmetra and really see how her toolkit is being used. So let's go ahead and take a look in retrospect about where Symmetra is now. So the new Symmetra has been live in game for a few weeks. How have you guys seen her used successfully so far, Jimmy? What are your Symmetra sightings look like right now?
She definitely has a spot in the meta now. It feels like she definitely is a viable option, and you can actually use her on offense now in certain comps, and it's really interesting to see just how much that Reinhardt shield gun does. Like, that thing is so cool, and it can really set up some awesome combos. So I didn't see her really in any of my placement games, but I think it's just because her skill cap, I think, is a little bit higher than it was before, but definitely the extended range on her primary fire also allows her to be a lot more aggressive, and it's really cool to see. More variety in supports is always a good thing, I feel like, in any competitive game like Overwatch, so I'm really excited to see how she fits into the professional scene, which we haven't really seen at all yet.
Interesting. Jamerson, you're at your Grandmaster rating over there at 4,100-ish. What are you seeing from Symmetra so far?
So, primarily she is used as a defensive hero, but a lot of people do agree that she's kind of a DPS hero with a support ultimate, because she can just lay down so much damage, especially if she gets close enough. I mean, 7 meters on her primary fire keeps her pretty darn safe, and she gets to dish out tons of damage. Mm-hmm. Now, we primarily see her on defensive maps like Point A on any of the assault maps, so Volskaya, Anubis, and Hanamura. And a lot of people still have difficulty trying to break that defense. There's still a lot of learning to be done, trying to play around her or play against her. But she's no longer that troll pick that people, considered her as, right? Like, one of your teammates is raging, someone like went in on him too hard, and now he's just going to play Symmetra, whatever. No, someone picks her, like, okay, you know what? We like that. We have a composition for that. We know what to play. If someone picks a Symmetra, we're just going to go solo healer Ana, triple tank, and then get a DPS out. So that people have, adjusted to it well. I think there do still need to be some nerfs to be had with her. I think her range is ridiculous, but yeah. I love that she has her 6 turrets starting off. And they, recharge a bit quicker, because before, like, once her turrets were down, she was just a sitting duck and she offered nothing to the team.
Interesting. Okay, so do you think that her range is too strong right now for her primary?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The number of times in my games where you'll see a Symmetra get triple or even a quadra kill, it's way too frequent.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one who's like, that gun is way too far. I'm like, I can't even get up close to her to do any real damage. It's, and remember, Jeff Kaplan lied to us because he said in his YouTube video, he said, you're barely going to notice it. It's not a big difference. And I'm like, I'm playing as my soldier, and I feel like Symmetra's like a mile and a half away. And I'm like, why am I dying to this stupid beam right now? But Jamerson, I'm glad you said that about her turrets. Like, I think that was, honestly, if they made one change, if they're like, okay, Overwatch community, you can keep one change from Symmetra, it would either be starting with 6 turrets or the 2 ultimates. Like, those two are kind of hand in hand for me, for my, like, my favorite changes that they made. I think they can revert the range stuff. Her shield is cool. I like that, but I'm like, honestly, just giving her all of her turrets up at front is a really great change that makes her a lot more oppressive at the beginning of those 2-point capture maps and hybrid maps on those point A points. So, yeah. Have you seen, are there still places where Symmetra is really just a no-no? Like, you shouldn't be playing Symmetra?
I still think King of the Hills, or what are they called, capture points? I can never remember. It's changed so many times. Control point. Yeah, I still think control point she's not really seen. I think like Jamerson said, she's mainly played on defense. You can even play her on hybrid maps where you have the point A and then you have to move the payload. She just changes up a little when you play her that way. You have to change the style in which you play her, because for example, King's Row, you want to play her, and if you're holding the point, you use your teleporter with the ult. If you still want to play her past that point, and they're moving the actual payload, you kind of want to switch it to using her shield generator past that point. And that helps a lot. And she's still really useful in that regard, which is what Blizzard wanted to do when they gave her these nerfs, is they didn't just want her to be a single point defensive hero where you only used her on double capture points for point A and then you switched off of her immediately. So I think that the buffs were good in that regard, that they brought her a little more into play in defensive maps. But I still think that, like you guys were talking about, her range is a little crazy, so some of her buffs could be tweaked back a little. But I think that they moved it in the right direction, because if you remember, they said that they were having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out how they wanted to change her, because they didn't want to give her a healing ability. They really wanted her to be that, you know, that niche pick, that support, even though it wasn't technically a healer. Right. So I think they did that part well. And while we're not really seeing her in competitive play, I think, like Jamer said as well, people are still trying to figure out how to use her and how best to utilize her too.
Anything to add there, Jimmy? Anything that you can kind of think of as far as where she's kind of really strong or really weak at this point?
I'd have to defer to the experts with the higher
rating. You have two grandmasters in the masters and grandmasters in the call. What would you add? I know that feeling. That's why you get to play host, Jimmy. Like on Heroes Power Hour, where you exactly. don't have to know anything. You just have to ask the questions. It's amazing, I tell you. So, okay, I really like that. Are there any, Jamerson, for you, are there any heroes that do exceptionally well with Symmetra as kind of a synergy? I know when we first kind of saw the changes in about a week and a half after, a lot of people were touting the Torbjorn Symmetra combo is like one of the most difficult defenses to ever get through, because once Symmetra gets her ultimate and Torbjorn gets that armor rolling, you're at plus 150 health on all of the heroes you're trying to damage. Are there any of those synergies still existing? Is Torbjorn and Symmetra still a viable defensive option? What do you think?
Torbjorn and Symmetra definitely viable. It's just that it does take a lot of time to get going. Symmetra, she's one of those heroes that can actually get her ultimate really quickly, like 5 seconds out the gate, she can actually have her ultimate, right? Torbjorn, though, takes a lot more ramping up time. And so to try to get to that point, it's a little bit dangerous, but once you do stabilize with that composition, it's extremely effective. But of course, if a team can scout that out properly, make the changes, go for a straight up dive comp and just go for those two heroes and get them out of the equation, then that composition generally does just fall apart. But that's the problem with trying to solo queue or play in a competitive era right now, is that a lot of people don't make those changes quick enough. And so it does give these compositions time to actually ramp up.
Yeah, that's what I had in my notes too, was that Torb for specific, and it's kind of just hit and miss with solo queue, because sometimes you go against premates, sometimes you go against just other solo queuers, so it's kind of hit and miss on whether that can work, but it can be done at top tier plays, because, you know, the Torbjorn isn't necessarily a troll pick, someone might be really good at Torb, and if you can get that first minute to really set up your comp, the Symmetra shield and the Torb shield is insane. You'll have a 400 health Genji running around. It's ridiculous. Or what is it? How much health is it with D.Va, with the Torb and the Symmetra?
D.Va gets up to 750,
I think.
750, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. I don't even want to think about that. That's too much. Are there any other obvious hero synergies that people, you know, can be looking toward with Symmetra? Are there ones that she does exceptionally well with? No,
I don't think so. I don't really think that she vibes with a lot of heroes, that there are a lot of heroes that really, really, really work well with her. I think it's just because of her unique style of play and how Blizzard wants her to be played. I don't think she really meshes with another hero as necessarily like a duo that you would want to run.
Right. I know somebody, I was chatting with, I can't remember who it was, in our Discord, and they said that they actually really like, I mean, you typically always have a Zarya anyway, or a lot of the time you have a Zarya, but throwing a Zarya bubble on a Symmetra while she's going at you with her primary fire is so freaking annoying. It yeah, is one of the most, like, that's pretty ridiculous, because it's, you know, it's another second or however long, second and a half it is of just free time to just use that primary. And again, if you can't get her down, that primary eats through really fast.
It really does.
It's really fast. So I kind of like, if you're looking at another hero, Zarya is kind of a safe one because she synergizes so well with so many other heroes that it's not specifically just a Symmetra synergy, but you know, there's so many different combinations that you can do with Zarya. How do you counter a good Symmetra? Jamerson, you said a dive comp. Some of our listeners might be a little bit newer to like that term. What is a dive comp? When you say, "Oh, just run a dive comp," I'm thinking of the dolphins on the coast of Hawaii again. And
you already checked out, aren't you? Just ready for
already there.
Yeah, right. I have the song going in the back.
I have my tie ready and everything. Oh, that sounds delicious, actually. Basically, dive composition is just anyone that has a gap closer. So you're looking at your Genjis, your Winston, D.Va, Tracer. You're just trying to get to the back line and run 2 to 3 of those and all focus down one hero at a time. Because when you have 3 heroes like trying to chase down one, they generally melt pretty darn quickly. So that's the kind of composition you want to get in there. Fast and heavy. You don't want to like get choked up in the choke point. I mean, that's why it's called the choke point, right? You don't want to be stuck there at all, which is what a lot of people actually fall prey to. See so many times people just playing really passively because, hey, they're Symmetra turrets. What do we do? Just run past them.
Yep.
Just run past them. That's all you need to do. That's why you run the dive composition.
Fair enough. Okay. Thank you for clarifying for those viewers. I mean, myself. No, those viewers. I knew what a dive comp is. Save your emails, Earl. I see you getting ready to comment on that YouTube video. Like, how can you host a podcast not know what a dive comp is? I know what a dive comp is. Okay. Dang, Earl.
Called leading the conversation.
Earl, you know, Earl, every once in a while, Earl makes his debut on our YouTube. And I'm just like, you know, Earl, knock it off. I'm deleting your comments every week. Okay. So cool. Competitive play. Are we seeing anything at the tournament level, Jamerson? Anything that noteworthy from Symmetra? I know we've been seeing more of her since the buffs, but anything beyond kind of what you're seeing in, you know, kind of Grandmasters, or just the same type of, hey, kind of defensive point A type person is where they kind of fit the best?
No, well, we're generally seeing what happens in competitive play, right? The ranked play or competitive play really does mirror the professional meta. So when we do see the Team Envious is playing Symmetra on like Hollywood Defense, more people are likely to try it out and not call it a troll pick. So we are actually getting to see that more often. Generally, everything that we're seeing in high-level pro play, we're seeing in competitive right now. And I guess the lower tier you go down, the more people think it's a troll pick, but they will pick onto it. I think there's still a lot more experimenting to go on. Sombra's the only one that really hasn't picked up any traction since her release. Right. But we are starting to see on pro streams, right? If you're watching like Calvin or Harblue or other people, they're actually testing out Sombra and experimenting with her a lot. And I'm learning a lot just by watching their stream. So I think that's the next thing to look out for. Sombra coming like to come full fruition. She's going to be used in tournament play.
Yeah. And I think this goes back a couple podcasts where you were saying, John, I think you asked me, Rush, do you think that people have yet to figure out how to utilize Sombra? And I said, yes, I think it has. I just don't think that she's that powerful of a player or of a character. I don't think that people will catch on. I don't think that there's a way to make her work. But I'm eating my words because this last week, a lot of stuff has come up, especially on streams, like Jameson was saying, where people are really finding out the secret behind double capture point maps is a Sombra with a dive comp. You send the Sombra in, she stealths to the point, she starts capping the point, your defending team goes back to stop the Sombra and, you know, stop the point, and then that's when you just rush in, and then you have the battle. You're past the choke point, you're past the Symmetra turrets. If you don't take out the Symmetra turrets, the Symmetra can't place any more turrets. You've already taken out half of her thing, and they're really working on finding viable ways to make Sombra work. So it's funny that you said that, Jamerson. I'd completely forgot, but now I get to say that here on the payload, I get to eat my words from 2-3 weeks ago, and I said I don't think that they'll be able to make her viable. They are, and I think that it's pretty cool how they might make that work, and it might come into the meta.
Cool. I love that. Okay, last question. Last question for all three. We're going to go around the horn on this one. You get to be Jeff Kaplan for a day. You get to go, you sit down at your shiny desk, probably made from Torbjorn scraps, and you sit down and you're going through and you have a folder labeled Symmetra, and you can make any last minute changes to her, whether reverting buffs or adding more changes. What do you do? Jimmy, you're up first, so then you can't. Feel like, oh, cool, I get to go after Jameson.
I'm pretty sure I know what everyone else is going to say, so I'm going to say nerf the extended range on
her primary. This isn't about being right, Jimmy. This is about just saying what you want to see changed. I promise I will not let Rosh or Jamerson make fun of your answer. I promise.
No, but seriously, it the range is silly on it. I've seen enough of it.
The range, the primary range. The range. So you keep everything else, but you shorten the range a little bit.
Yeah, I think everything else is in a good spot. Also, maybe the range on the shield generator decreased a little bit because it's like it seriously feels like it goes on forever.
Yeah.
Are there still some maps that you could place it in the graveyard at the second capture point and it reaches the... like where the battle will be at the capture point, or have they changed that at all?
I think Hanamura is probably the only Hanamura one that's probably close.
That was the big one that people are complaining about.
Huh. Okay. So reduced range on primary fire and ultimate. Mm-hmm. Rosh.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I go back to my Hanamura part. Definitely reduced range on her shield generator. It seems a little crazy right now. Also, what Jimmy said, either a reduced range or a little tweak on the damage for her beam, one of those two. But I think the better of those two would be reduced range. I think her being able to push out that much DPS won't be as much of a problem when you don't get attacked from halfway across the side of the map. So I don't think that'll be as much of a problem. And I think that'll keep her viable in the maps as well.
Jamerson, anything last minute to add? Any wish list changes for Symmetra? Jamerson Kaplan?
So for Symmetra, actually my biggest wish list or my most prized change would have to be the survivability of her ultimate. So her shield generator and her teleporter have massive health pools now with huge shields that regenerate themselves. You can't send just one person to try and take it out by themselves because generally it takes a really long time even for a D.Va, a Winston, any of those backliners that can actually make it back there safely to try and take it out themselves. The moment that they actually do try to like take it down, 2-3 people like just immediately come back and defend it. So they need to work on the survivability of it. I would like to see maybe something like on her shield generator. It's invulnerable for 30 seconds, but then has half its HP after that. Something that where it's a lot more vulnerable and it can't just stay up all game long. Because there are some Metro games where I will see she'll have her shield generator for the entirety of the match, like 4 or 5 minutes long, just the entire time, even though we try to focus it down before. Like, I've had to sacrifice my life just to take out the shield generator. And then, of course, by the time I respawn, she's got it again. She has it again.
Right.
So. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. I think hers is the only ult that can possibly last the entire match. And an ultimate shouldn't be able to do that because at least the teleporter has 6 charges. But the shield generator, it's not like, oh, after 60 seconds, it disappears and you have to charge up another one. If the team can't push past the choke point, that shield generator just stays there the entire time. And the point of Overwatch is to build ults and contribute to the team fight that way. So she basically doesn't have to do anything for the rest of the match. She's done her job and there's no punishing that. So that's a really good point.
Interesting. Do you think that maybe making less of the health a regenerating shield might help too? Because isn't like 400 or something of it just a regenerating shield?
Yeah, essentially. I know that like Winston has to reload twice, Tracer has to reload twice, Genji just takes forever. Like he can't take it out by himself.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous. So yeah, maybe if they did revert it to like half and half or 2/3 to 1/3, it makes it possible to try and dive it like twice, go for like a dry run, try to take it out, and then go for your next push, something like that.
Got it. Okay. So I think you all succeeded at being Jeff Kaplan for a day. I think those are all great changes for it. Let's go ahead and finish up with an email and we'll get out of here. I don't have an email sounder, so just whatever. We'll just boop and go. All right. So we do have one email this week. If you have questions or comments about the show, want us to read it on the air, send us your emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. We got this one from Jackson M. Says, hey guys, I'm a relatively new listener, jumped in around episode 45. I love listening to the show, and it's incredibly informative. Thank you. I've been playing this game casually since beta. As a D.Va main, I find that Zenyatta's Discord Orb plus Soldier 76 is very effective in pushing me back, even with her shield. I believe he means defense matrix. This technique, I feel, works with all tanks except Reinhardt. A couple of questions. How do you guys deal with that? So you're playing D.Va. They come out with a Zenyatta soldier. Are there any obvious ways that you can, A, as a D.Va, deal with that? Or B, what can your team do to help with that? What do you? Who wants to chime in here? Not all at once, please. It's just a podcast.
I think at that point it just comes to really being really communicating with the rest of your team. If you're getting destroyed as a D.Va, you've got to really talk to your team. You've got to use voice chat. Maybe if you're not, I mean, if you're in quick play, I understand things get kind of crazy, but generally in competitive, people want to use voice and they want to be clear with what's going on. I think that's just when you have to say, look, guys, the Zenyatta's Discord is destroying me. I need someone who can go back and get the Zenyatta and take him out. Or I need you to take out this soldier. That's what's happening. I can help you more if you guys help me in that regard because I can stay alive. So I think at that point, you just really have to communicate with your team.
Right. So focusing down the Zenyatta mainly, it sounds like, Raj, what you're saying there, the most difficult part of that is the orb.
Because with the orb, that increases all of the damage, and Zenyatta doesn't really have a lot of mobility. So if you really get, I know Genji isn't, DPS characters aren't really in the meta right now, but if you have a good Genji on your team, for example, if the Genji starts focusing the Zenyatta, or even a Sombra can really focus the Zenyatta too. It's really not that hard to kill a Zenyatta, especially if you're staying on it. And coming from a support player, I know if I'm playing Zenyatta and I'm getting focused, I'm yelling at my team like, guys, as soon as this Genji comes out, I need you to get on him because I can't do anything. I have no mobility as a Zenyatta. So I think that's the easiest way to really stop that is just focusing the Zenyatta.
Jamerson, what do you think? Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Generally, if you're going to be seeing a Zenyatta come out, it's gonna you're either going to have Zenyatta Anna or Zenyatta Lucio. If it's Zenyatta Anna, then he's even more susceptible to being dove upon. You just have to be able to spot that out. Is it going to be the Anna or Lucio as the you know other support? And if it's Anna, you just dive on them. Already, if the Zenyatta and the Soldier 76 are trying to focus you down as one D.Va, you're already, you know, being way valuable for your team. 2-for-1 trade at that point, and you just go into, you just run into them. Just run into them. Be fearless at that point. Try to go for a 1-for-1 trade, because while they're spending, you know, that 2-for-1 time trying to fight you, there's a 5v4 going on, which your team should be able to win.
Interesting. I like that. Just accept it. Accept the fate. Be a team player.
Yeah, you're doing your job as a D.Va at that point.
Awesome. Jimmy, I did it again. I apologize.
No, it's okay. Well, I have a different idea, kind of a little bit. Okay, I mean, great. You could play a little bit more conservative if you don't want to go the aggressive approach. Pull back from wherever you're pushing on and get that Discord orb to fall off, and then go in and be less susceptible to that soldier damage. Obviously, that's not going to work on necessarily every single map, but I think something like a payload map will, where you're on offense, that'll work pretty effectively, because you can dive back and forth and kind of just, that's kind of how the meta has been shaping up right now. I feel like, especially at the top level, is a lot of just kind of poking out and poking for damage, pulling back, poking back, and just doing that over and over and over.
It definitely depends on what skill level you're at, right? I mean, usually, like Jamerson, to your point, like the higher levels of skill play, it's everybody is so responsible for the role that they're playing, right? There's just, you can't be a bad D.Va and be playing D.Va at 4100 rank. It's just not really something that you can do and get away with. You have to know that role and know that for the team, by jumping in, I'm giving you a single man advantage later on by having these two people focus me down. And, you know, I'm trusting my team to take them out in that time. Because again, Soldier 200 health, Zenyatta 50 health, and 150 shield, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, not a whole lot of health there. Usually can be dealt with fairly quickly. So, the same time, especially as, you know, depending on where you're playing and what rank you're playing at, you don't have to play in their hands. If they're focusing you and every time you peek around a corner, you know they're looking at you, it means that they're not looking somewhere else. Sometimes being a little bit more annoying with where you are sitting. Maybe there are places that you can be as a D.Va that really forces them out of position and to take their eyes off the rest of the action. That won't work everywhere and not at all skill levels, but to Jimmy's point, sounds like that might be something to try. So that was the first question. Second one I'm going to take as an answer. Yeah, he goes, is it possible to get into the competitive scene on a console? We're an all Mac household and I only play on Xbox. The competitive scene prime? No. Sorry, but it just won't ever be there. As somebody who loves playing on console, paid for most of college playing console games, I feel you, buddy. I get it, but no, probably not. The Overwatch League will probably always be PC, and there are definitely leagues and tournaments. I know Onslaught Clan has a lot of time invested into console leagues for Overwatch. There are definitely people putting out console leagues, console tournaments. There are, I've got a few people here in Denver who are doing console tournaments at local game stores. So there definitely is competitive Overwatch on console, but you probably won't be making a living off of it by any means. And usually, the viewership, there's actually a console league that they used to have like every week or 2 weeks, was getting almost 1,000 viewers. So like there are people who are still like wanting to watch that. But when you compare it to Apex and Overwatch, open numbers of 50,000, 60,000, 100,000 probably won't be there. But it doesn't mean you can't enjoy Xbox and play, you know, Xbox and have a competitive team and do that. Just it won't pay a lot of money comparatively. Okay. So then, all right, last two questions. Favorite skins for your mains. So I know, Rosh, you may have mentioned once or twice, you're a Mercy main. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Mercy skin?
definitely the witch skin, but at this point I've kind of used it for so long that I'm going back to the Valkyrie, but I think it's a toss-up between those two, especially with the golden weapon. The witch skin looks really cool with the golden broom.
Awesome. I had no idea you would say that.
I know, right?
Jamerson, hey, do you have a main? Like, are you a main couple heroes?
I just fill whatever my team needs, I will play. So I can play tank, DPS, or support. For DPS, I guess I would go with... I know he's a tank, but I mean, Roadhog's a DPS at this point. So Roadhog, right. I would say my favorite skin is the Christmas one right now, just because his belly lights up.
The belly, you know? The Rudolph belly. He's got
the Rudolph belly, and it lights up, and it's I don't know why. That just makes me so happy. As a support, I would say the Halloween Anna skin with the mask. It's just so creepy, especially with the emote where she's giving out the grandma candy. Yeah, it just works so well. And then as a tank, Reinhardt, I go with the Bloodheart. That's the red spiky one, just because it reminds me of Gurren Lagann, if you've ever seen that show.
Nice. Yes. Love it. Okay. Love it. What about you, Jimmy? Are you still Lucio maining it up?
Yeah, I play definitely quite a bit of Lucio. I did pick up the Christmas skin for him, and I do like that, but my favorite definitely is the hippity hop skin, the golden frog looking skin. It's pretty cool.
I think it's weird.
It's definitely a weird.
I see it like Katie and I actually got into an argument about the best Lucio skin. No joke. Funny. We almost broke up. There was yelling, throwing, and breaking of things. Because she insists that the new elf Lucio skin is better than the golden frog skin. And I said, no way. I'm glad to know that I have Jimmy to back me up here.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with Jamerson, go a little bit down the classes as well. But for Reinhardt, I'd have to go with the Griefheart skin, which came out with the Eichenwald, the kind of overgrowth skin.
The overgrowth
one? I really like. Yeah. With all the vines kind of hanging off. And I like the look of that one.
Nice.
And for DPS, I like the Immortal skin for Soldier 76. Thriller Halloween skin.
The Thriller one. That's the only 76 skin I don't have. I'm a 76 main. I like Daredevil 76. That's my guy.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so I mainly stay on Daredevil 76. So that's... kind of my main. I already told you my Lucio one. I play a lot of Reinhardt, and I love Koldara. Is that what it's called? It was the Halloween one where he's all blue with the blue lights shining him. I love the blue one from the Halloween. And then lastly, do you think skins play into a stealth factor for the game? Jamerson, I see you nodding your head yes.
Yeah, enormously. That's why I stopped running certain skins. At some point, skins do become a liability, like we were talking about, the hippity hop skin. Lucio's head becomes huge at that point, and he actually becomes like a few pixels taller also. And as a support, you don't want to be standing out. You don't want to be seen. You want to hide. So they do actually play a huge role.
Awesome. Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I honestly wasn't sure at the higher ends if it made
that
much
of a difference.
Yeah,
I don't think that there are many skins that really do that. But Lucio is one of them because he's so short as he is, and he kind of just like skates around. It's really easy to duck and get behind smaller crevices, so you don't want to exacerbate and give them, you know, more height to reach you on. So that makes sense.
I know in Halo we used to make fun of people who played as the Arbiter skins all the time because they just had their heads always sticking out. So you always knew where the headshot was, especially from a side profile.
I did want to really quickly mention, I didn't think about this, but the Oni skin for Genji is pretty freaking cool. And
I got
also,
mine this week.
You can still get it if you haven't
to get mine.
January 2nd, I believe, is the last day. 15 games in Heroes of the Storm with friends. And you can also unlock that as well.
I made Katie jump into Heroes of the Storm for the first time. We played 15 games yesterday afternoon. Took us about 2.5 hours. which isn't bad considering everyone was fairly new. So
that's pretty quick for 15 games.
Well, I mean, we definitely played against beginner bots, but you know, it was a lot of fun. I learned some stuff too. So make sure to get that. You've got till January 4th. It's 2 days after the the winter time. But we're gonna say the second so you don't procrastinate, okay? Jeez. Oh, all right.
Time is running, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We gotta get out of here. We gotta get done. We've gone a little long already. Thank you all for hanging out for this episode of The Payload. It was a blast. I hope you guys had fun listening to it. Jamerson, I love it when you're on, man. I wish we could just have you on every week and get the skinny on all the competitive Overwatch stuff from your side and then from Rosh's side. And then we're just covered. And then Jimmy provides the look and the voice. And then I get to provide the stupidity, I guess, is what I get to add to the show. So, yeah, it was awesome time having you here, man.
Okay, I had a lot of fun. Always enjoyed my time on here, so thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and get through this stuff and get out of here. So first, Jimmy, what do we have going on in Patreon land?
Well, first of all, we always have to thank our MVPs, Adam B., J.A., Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you all so much for being our MVPs and really helping out the show. If you like the show and want to show your support, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast and find out all the different tiers of rewards there and what all you can get in return for helping us out. We are still very close to that $200 merch store, and we'd really love to hit that and give you guys the opportunity to buy some shirts with our logo on it.
Yes, we're so close. We are so close. iTunes reviews. What do we have going on, Rosh?
These reviews help us immensely on a week-to-week basis, guys. And guess what? They are free to give. I promise they are super simple. This week, I have to give a shout-out to Crystal Fusion and Afro Horsey for leaving us them. They said goodbye to Kevin, and they wished us luck, so thank you for that. If you haven't left a review and would like to support the podcast in an amazing and incredibly easy way, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, thank you for those 5-star reviews. We love reading them. All right, let's do shout outs for the week. Jamerson, give us, where can everyone find you? Who do you want to shout out as we go ahead and close it out?
Oh, so you can find me on all sorts of manners of social media at Jet Set Jamerson. So one word, Jet Set Jamerson. That's where I'll be on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, even Snapchat. And if you want to see more of my work, I'll be doing the camera work for the Overwatch Winter Premiere. That'll be starting up again January 3rd, I believe. So keep an eye out for that. Let me know what you guys think about the in-game camera work. And then my next casting gig, I'll be working with TESPA and ESL on the Overwatch Collegiate TESPA Finals. That's going to be taking some place in February. So keep an eye out for that, guys.
That's awesome. That's so cool that you're doing all that. You're at the ground floor of this, baby. That's awesome. All right. Well, Rosh, what about you? Shout outs for the week. Thanks and all the other things.
Well, of course, every week I have to shout out you guys because I don't think any of us would be doing what we love to do if it weren't for the support of you guys. You make it so awesome for us week to week. I have been moving, so I have everything set up, so I will start resuming my daily streams, and I will tell you now that in January, and I guess for the last day of this month, I'm going hard with the stream. So if you want to see some really awesome support gameplay for Overwatch and you want to see me go 0-10 and see if we still hit Masters in Overwatch as well, definitely check it out. It's twitch.tv/okay. It's Rosh. You can catch me there. I stream normally from about 4 to 10 p.m. Pacific.
Nice. All right, Jimmy, what about you, man? Last thoughts?
Yeah, just thanks everyone for supporting the show, and Jameson, thanks for coming on the show. It's always good to have you and talk with you, and really looking forward to your esports work into 2017.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, as for me, I am streaming. I'm taking a little bit of a break, so I'm trying to really focus on my legend climb here in Hearthstone. But I am streaming all the time at twitch.tv/kicktripod. So come and hang out. Give me a follow so you can see when I'm online. I'm going to be streaming close to 40 hours a week here once New Year's hits. So I'm really excited about that. All right, well, let's go ahead and get out of here. Thank you for tuning in to episode 51 of The Payload. You can find more great Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. The show records live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And we're on Twitter at Payload Podcast. The Payload is primarily supported by our fans. You, our fans, join the Payload family and find out how you can support at patreon.com/payload podcast. And we love your emails. Send us your questions and comments to thepayload@blizzpro.com. We even love your iTunes reviews. Leave a 5-star review and we'll mispronounce your name on the next show. And of course, a special thanks to Jake Butno for our music. This has been episode 51. We'll see you guys next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.